May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. I love a good procession, and Anglicans tend to do processions well, luckily enough. A few months ago, the clergy of the whole diocese gathered to process into the cathedral for the enthronement of the new Bishop of Exeter. It was wonderful to be a part of, and really made a statement to everyone watching. Processions do that. We are here today on this Palm Sunday to commemorate another procession which made a statement, the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. But actually, there were two processions into the city on that spring day, somewhere around AD 30. From the east came the procession we're so familiar with, Jesus riding on the back of a donkey and followed by his disciples, an ordinary bunch of fishermen and regular folk, nothing grand, and yet the people lined the roads, laying cloaks down in front of him, waving palm branches and shouting Hosanna. Meanwhile, from the west came the much more elaborate, much grander procession of Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea, representative of the emperor, lord of the region. Every year, just before Passover, the Jewish people would flock to Jerusalem, swelling the population in the city, and Pilate would travel up from his palace on the coast to be there for the festival. It was a wonderful opportunity to show his power to the people he was subduing. Far too good to waste. Pilate's procession was huge and loud and grand. He would ride in high on his imperial chariot, surrounded by soldiers on his left and his right, with their swords fully on show, drums beating, the sound of horses, a show of might. The Jewish pilgrims might be gathered to celebrate an ancient victory over Egypt, but one look at the mass military force designed to intimidate would tell them that resistance to the current regime would be futile. Pilate's procession was making that statement loud and clear. The Jesus we meet in the Gospels is always intentional. And so it seems fair to assume that Jesus' choice in how he entered Jerusalem at the start of that momentous week was thoughtful and planned. He could have just walked in quietly, after all. But no, his entrance to the city was an act of protest, a counter-procession, a statement of rebellion even against all that Pilate stood for. So what exactly is Jesus' statement? What is he saying by staging his own somewhat ragtag parody of the Roman progress? By riding in absurdly on not just a donkey, but a colt, a donkey that isn't even fully grown. He's saying that the world's procession, Pilate's procession, the noisy, ostentatious show of worldly power, the procession of the powerful and the status quo of that man-made empire is the complete opposite of his true kingship and of the kingdom of God. Jesus' procession was a procession of the powerless, the ridiculous, the downtrodden, the vulnerable. We heard in our New Testament reading this morning how little the disciples understood this, even after that event. They argue between themselves over who is going to be the greatest, and Jesus has to spell it out for them. This is how the world thinks about greatness, but with you, that whole thing must be turned on its head. The greatest becoming least, the least greatest. And Jesus, who truly is the greatest, becomes the servant of all. So here is the central conflict of Holy Week, announced by a donkey and some palm branches. It's a conflict which guarantees that the Christian life will never be an easy ride. Because what Palm Sunday shows us is that we live in a two-procession world. Every day, when we look at the news, we are confronted by appalling headlines, and we witness world leaders who seek to rule like Caesar, who seek to establish empires founded on their own power and privilege, using violence and lacking any care for the vulnerable. And often, when it suits them, they even claim authority and blessing from God. This is not the way of Jesus. The way of Jesus is one of mercy and peace, love and service. When Jesus and his disciples processed into Jerusalem, they were making a statement, even if the disciples didn't fully understand it at the time. They were taking a very public stand against oppression and injustice, and demonstrating the values of the kingdom with every step. It opens a window on the purposes of our Christian faith. When we look at Palm Sunday, it destroys any idea that Christianity can be an otherworldly type religion. Jesus calls us to live out God's values in the choices we make here and now, every day, in how we choose to live our lives and make our witness in the world. We are called to make that choice. In a two-procession world, which procession are we going to join? Are we going to follow Christ or march behind Caesar? Take God's way or not? Are we prepared to risk standing against the prevailing narrative for the sake of mercy and compassion, or will we amble along the easy route of judgment and bitterness? In the words of Isaiah, Jesus asks, "Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together." Pilate's procession is about prideful, power-hungry self-interest at the expense of others who are viewed as expendable. Jesus, by contrast, comes in humility, choosing not to lord himself over the ordinary people, even though he had every right to do so. Jesus gives away his privilege with open hands, hands that by the end of that week would be pierced and torn for them and us out of love. Palm Sunday is a day when power is confronted by love. It shows us a pattern for how we should live as Christians in this world. Because if we say we are Christians, if we say we are following the way of Christ, then the statement we make by our actions and attitudes, the procession we choose to join, says something to those we encounter every day about the God we love. Who do we show God to be? A God who excludes and others the marginalised? Or one who values the lost sheep, the broken reed, the shunned and despised so much that he willingly gave his life for them? Jesus is inviting you and me to follow him into Jerusalem, to get in step, to make a choice and cast our lot in with him, as he turns the world's values on their head, to bring nearer the kingdom of God. Are we ready to join that procession? Amen.